be seated.
My wife is a member of a very exclusive organization. It's called Clergy Mummies. And it's a brilliant little place where wives or spouses of clergy can go and talk about what this is like to be to be married to somebody who's a member of the church as a clergy person. So she gave me a sneak look at some of the writing. So a little bit of this comes from Clergy Mummies. So let's just start with three verses out of the gospel reading that we read. So just take a look at that. Somebody once said, why do you put numbers in with the gospels or the Bible readings? And that's so that I can point out certain things to you. And I hardly ever do that, but I'm going to start doing it more. So the first thing I want to look at verse 38 in the gospel reading. When Jesus turned, it's near the bottom of your page, I think. When Jesus turned and saw them following him, he said, what are you looking for? So I want you to keep that verse 38 in your mind. What are you looking for? And then in the verse 39, he said to them, come and see. Because the disciples had said, where are you staying? And Jesus said, come and see. So I want you to remember that phrase too. And then the last part I want you to remember is this. In verse 42, he says, he brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas, which is translated Peter, or sometimes rock. So, remember that. You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Peter. So you're probably thinking, why is he pointing those out? Because those are the invitations that I want to talk to you about. In the first invitation, what are you looking for? Andrew and his friend have heard all about Jesus from John the Baptist. John has declared, you know, every time Jesus walks by, he's going, there's the Lamb of God. There he is. Well, look at him. There's the Lamb of God. He's going by. And he's identified Jesus as the one in whose shoes he's unfit to tie, the one who comes both before and after him, the one upon whom the Spirit of God rests. With a write-up like that, maybe it's unsurprising, that Andrew and his friend seemed to tiptoe rather timidly after Jesus. But we read, when Jesus turned and saw them, that they were following, he said to them, what are you looking for? So here's the first invitation. Jesus invites them into a conversation. He acknowledges them. He turns toward them and invites them to tell him, what do they want? And Jesus notices our smallest steps toward him. He notices even when we approach, maybe with fear or trepidation, tentatively, he's always ready to turn toward us and to ask, what is it you're looking for in your life? What is it you need? He doesn't impose himself on us. He just invites us. It's friendly. He asks us to reflect, to think. And he asks us this today. What are you looking for? What are you looking for? So Andrew's answer in this particular day might have been, I'm looking for the Messiah. But beneath, there's always something deeper that people are looking for. They're looking for forgiveness. Maybe they're looking for consolation. Maybe they're looking for hope. Maybe they're looking for the restoration of a broken relationship. Maybe they're looking for new life within them. Maybe they're looking for a community to be a part of. Maybe they're looking for something that'll give meaning because their life feels empty. Jesus just invites us to share with him our deepest longings, to tell him what's the burning desire of your heart. Not the thing that you'd put on Facebook, but what's really real to you. Just think about that for a minute and think about what you're looking for. You each have your own personal answer to that question. So, homework. today, you can start now, but today, later, go home and think about this and offer it up to God as a prayer. Just turn it over in your mind, like when you're doing the dishes or something like that. Some of my best thinking is when I'm just doing stuff that has to be done that I don't have to think too much about. And then I think about other things. Think about that. What is it you're looking for? And be sure to know this. Jesus will answer you. The answer, he hears it in his heart, and then he answers you. In fact, he already knows what you're going to say, because he knows us so deeply, so intimately. But he's just waiting for each of us to catch up with our own needs, because sometimes we don't even realize what they are. And then we express them. But we also have communal answers to this question. We want to see God's kingdom grow. We had a whole day thinking about where are we headed this year? What are we going to do? We want to see God's children free from fear and division. We want to see the name of Jesus honored. We want to see God's love transforming the world. And as we learn together, when we pray together over the next few years, it's my hope that we're going to come to an understanding of what it is that God's calling us to do. And we've entered into that process already. What is it you're calling us to do? What are the deepest desires of our community? In any case, Andrew is obviously a little bit tongue-tied, so he says, like, have you ever been in a situation like that? I don't actually know how to answer this. So you blurt something out. Well, maybe that's what Andrew was thinking. So he just blurts out, seems like a non sequitur, where are you staying? And Jesus says, come and see. That's the second invitation. It's an invitation to you too. And he invites Andrew and the other disciple to go and spend time with him, and they spend several hours together. And it says, they remained with him that day. Jesus invites them in. He makes time for them. We all know the difference between that we feel between someone who makes 10 minutes for us in the office and somebody who invites us round to their home for a meal. We're going to be sharing in meals as part of what we're doing over the next few months. We're going out for dinner with one another. We find out so much about somebody just by walking through their front door. You know, you look around and you see the pictures on their wall, or you smell a good smell. Ooh, there's something cooking in that kitchen. Is everything neat and tidy? Or are there papers piled up, leaning over like the Tower of Pisa? I have some of those piles of paper in my office. Jesus invites them to be with him in that way, to just get close to him. And remember, when Jesus invites you, he's not too busy for you. He wants to spend time in your company. Just think about that. You know, there's a part of a Kendrick song that says, hands that threw stars into space, nailed to this cruel cross. That same one, Jesus, is happy to make time for you, wants to make time for you. But think about it the other way, too. How often are we too busy to make time for Jesus? Remember, Jesus wants to enter into that relationship with you. He invites us to come and see and to share in his life unhurriedly, just to hang out. Sometimes people say, church was too long today. You went an hour and 10 minutes, or you went an hour and 15 minutes. Well, we're in God's presence. Don't you like hanging out here with God? I once heard prayer described this way. Prayer is wasting time with a friend. And just think about that definition for a second. Like, that's how we sort of talk about how we use our time sometimes, just wasting time doing this or that or the other. We waste some time with Jesus, and it's wonderful. We don't have a big, long agenda for him. We just want to get closer to him. Jesus is never looking at his clock. Oh, man, this is going a bit long, isn't it? He's never sort of thinking, oh, I know my daytimer has Ron Lewis booked next. No, he's just saying, I've got all the time in the world for you because I love you. He invites you to be, to stay, to see. And what do we see when we spend time in Christ's company? I hope you see these things because they're there. We see joy, peace, welcome. We see grace. In the middle of all of that I know about myself, I just see God's grace, that he loves me despite all the things that I'm... Somebody once... I love this quote, and I've been dying to use it. God knows you so well that in his plans for you, he's allowed for all the things you're going to do that mess things up. And I just think, oh, I'm so glad that you take that all into account. So you experience grace and love and forgiveness, and you experience courage and abundance, and you find out that God is there in the midst of all you're doing. Just for a minute, hear these words that Jesus is speaking to you. Come and see. Come and hang out with me where I am. And let that invitation just feed your heart. Now, the first thing that Andrew does after this close encounter of the first kind is to rush off and find his brother Simon Peter. Once we've encountered the love of God, it's the most natural thing in the world to want to invite others to come and see. I remember when I first turned back to God, I wasn't afraid to tell other people, like, I've had this really neat experience. Before that, I was like, I didn't want people to know I had this idea of faith in my mind and my heart. But after I really just sort of got to know him, I thought, this is too good to not share. Inviting people to share in our faith doesn't have to be complicated, though. You don't need to get a degree in theology or a course in public speaking. If you can say, come and see, you can share your faith. You can say, would you like to come with me to church next week? Come and see. Do you want to go to the Shrove Tuesday pancake supper? Come and see. We'll have fun. Come on. Or what about this? When you're at coffee with somebody and they've told you something that's going on in their life and you say, do you mind if I say a prayer for you? Or, I know you're having a hard time. Do you want to talk about this? And then you can share a little bit of your faith of how when things are at the worst for you, you find hope in the middle of all of that. You find courage. You find peace. You find God's love. Share your faith. People often speak about how they want church to be welcoming, and church should be welcoming. But when you welcome somebody who's already decided that they're going to turn up, well, it would be even better if we could just make our churches inviting. Can we do some inviting? Can we make our community inviting? Andrew invites his brother Simon along. He says, imagine if he hadn't bothered to do that. I don't know if he'll like this. I'm not going to share this with him. Imagine if he'd been too shy. Oh, gee, I don't like speaking out loud about anything like this. Or what if he was worried? Oh, he's just going to make fun of me. He's going to say, oh, you're a religious fanatic. I wonder, is there somebody you'd like to invite? And so we come to our third invitation. Jesus sees Simon and he says, you are Simon, son of John. You'll be called Peter, the rock. So Jesus sees Simon, a person who is steadfast, who is wholehearted, and that more than makes up for all the impulsiveness that I think he had ADD, all the impulsiveness and bravado that we see later in the Gospels. Jesus sees Simon and he invites him to take on a new identity, a new purpose. As always, when somebody's given a particular name in Scripture, it's hugely significant. Your name is about your meaning, your place within the community of faith, and your relationship with God. And if your name is changed, all those things about your personality are being renewed and being changed. Just as Jacob, the deceiver, has his name changed to Israel, which means one who prevails, so here we see Simon being named the rock, the foundation. Jesus sees Simon Peter and sees potential in him that others haven't seen, invites him into a fuller life and a fuller identity than he's previously known. He invites Simon Peter to become fully all that he was created to be, renewed and transformed by God's grace, as we all long to be. It used to be the case that when a person was baptized, they chose their baptized name, you know? So an adult would be baptized, or a person, you know, a teenager or whatever, and they'd say, "What's your new name?" And they'd say, "I want to be called John, because John was the greatest of all of the disciples, and he was the greatest. I want to be John." Or you see this still today in the Pope. When the Pope becomes the Pope, he has to choose a new name. The old one, this is the new creation. You know, so St. Francis was the name that our current Pope chose because he loved what Francis stood for. He loved the way Francis proclaimed the good news about Jesus. He loved the way he cared for the poor. He loved the way he saw that he needed to change his life and to devote his life to God. So he said, "I want to be like St. Francis. I'm going to choose that name." Jesus sees you just as he saw Simon, and he renames you. And he comes to renew your heart and mind. He sees what's unique about you, and he loves it. And he affirms it, and he blesses it. And he invites you to be yourself without hesitation or fear. Christian faith is not about turning all of us into identical do-gooders. It's not. It's about Jesus nourishing and blessing the potential in each one of us, in you, and inviting us to inhabit that potential, potentially fully and live in it without fear. So we have three invitations from Jesus this morning. I want you to consider all of them during this coming week. So if you have a pen, you can underline those three invitations. That's very good. That's a good idea. And there's even handily pencils provided with little hooks on them, so you can do that really easily. So, let me just repeat them to you, in case you want to underline them now. I underline everything. The first is from verse 38. "What are you looking for?" Only I don't think he says it like that. He says, "What are you looking for?" Then he says in verse 39, "Come and see." And then he says, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas." We're invited to consider this invitation from Jesus. What are our deepest needs and desires, both as individuals and as a community? And share those with Jesus. Spend time with him. Hang out with him. Waste time with Jesus. That'd be the best thing you could ever do. And we're invited to accept a new name. The name of the beloved child of God, forgiven, remade, renewed. Amazing invitations, aren't they? Great news, good news, wonderful news. And we're called to share those invitations with others so that we see ourselves become part of the invitation of Jesus. Good news here in Canmore. Imagine, good news in Canmore. Here it is. God is with you. God wants to spend time with you. God wants to be a part of your life. And he's inviting you. Amen. I'm going to be quiet. Imagine that. And just let you think about those three invitations, and then we'll pray.